From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in Shalott. It's 1962 in Rochester, and two girls are getting home from school. Together, they share a pair of ice skates. They drop off the books at home, grab the skates, and head down toward the lake. They're going ice skating, one of their favorite holiday time traditions in Rochester. Free, outdoor, public ice skating. Didn't always used to be like that? Or do we get overly nostalgic, buffing up the edges of the past and imagining that every town used to have an outdoor skating pond, a hot chocolate stand, carolers, live music, fires outside? Is it partially our imagination? Or did the town square used to be different? Did things used to be different? Can we recreate them? Well, last Saturday in Rochester, I went down to the Rock Holiday Village, and the outdoor ice rink was packed. More than once, I heard someone remark that this is what it used to feel like during the Christmas season. The Holiday Village pulls together free ice skating with decorations, live music, food and drink, plenty of shopping, featuring local products, by the way. And this hour, we're discussing the Holiday Village, the mission behind it, and more with our guests here who are the folks that are sort of the brain trust who put this thing together. So we got a few more days left to talk about this. Jenna Knopf is the owner of the Bella Events Group. Jenna, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Kelly Marsh is a professional photographer. Kelly, welcome to you.
Hi, thank you.
And Sean McCarthy, the owner of McCarthy Tents and Events, welcome to you as well.
Welcome, thanks.
Who gets the blame for the Rock Holiday Village? Who's really the first person to create this?
That was Jenna.
It was Jenna, yeah. Jenna was in Bryant Park, I would assume, what, in December of 2017.
Yep.
She came back and said to me, you know, I'm really inspired right now. And in 2013 and 14, I was in Europe around the holidays in Ireland and Germany. And everywhere you go, there's magical holiday villages, holiday markets that you can tell have been there forever. And I was blown away by it. And I thought about it for a lot of years after, but kind of forgot about it. And then Jenna came back and brought up Bryant Park. And I said, we can do this.
All right, so before we even go into sort of the mission behind it, how it all came together and what's happening there, I want to invite our listeners to share their thoughts. Have you been down to the Rock Holiday Village? What do you think? And if you haven't, we'll tell you all about it in just a second. If you want to share your thoughts on sort of nostalgia, if you just hear Sean talking about kind of traveling across Europe and you see these kind of winter village settings, does that feel like what your own hometown experience used to be? Or do we think everything was always this perfectly bucolic Charlie Brown setting, and is that, do we overly nostalgize the past? I mean, certainly growing up outside Cleveland, there were places that looked a lot like what I experienced at the Rock Holiday Village last weekend. My guess is a lot of listeners around Rochester and various communities can remember things. But I wonder if it was all that different than it is now. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Email the program connections at WXXI.org, connections at WXXI.org. You can call the program this hour, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255. Where is the Rock Holiday Village, for those who haven't been there?
Rock Holiday Village is at MLK Park downtown, right next to the skating rink.
Yeah, it was actually quite a walk to find. I had to. We parked quite a ways away last weekend because it was packed down there. I mean, it's like half of humanity was down there, which was great. It was really neat to see. Was down there with my boy, and one of his friends was there skating, flying around the rink. And I'm going, you're going to nail somebody because there's 1,000 people on the ice. It's a pretty big space for the ice, isn't it? I mean, it's a long kind of outdoor pond. I call that. I don't know.
You're talking about the skating rink?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's been there forever in what's really fun is, as we've been circling back with the folks that run it at Parks and Rec in the city, they're just overjoyed. They're like, we've seen so many people skating that we've never seen before. They're getting their first real exposure at that skating rink where there's other people that have been doing it for years.
Yeah, it was too bad. We were trying to get someone from the city to come on and chat with us, a historian, the folks in different departments. But the city declined to come on. Not really sure why, but that's their choice. But hey, I think it's great for certainly for the city to see the kind of energy that's down there. So the Holiday Village is running when to when here? Going to be done soon?
We end on the 23rd of December.
All right, so you got about a week left here.
Two weekends. This weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and the next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday again.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, I mean, the first thing that I saw was all the people skating. But then you got this sort of platform and a lot of different vendors and whatnot. So kind of take me through the layout, and I want to know how you sort of envisioned it, if this turned out how you envisioned it. And I certainly want to see if Sean thinks it compares to what he sees in Europe. We'll get there in a second. But take me through the layout of the Holiday Village.
Sure. So when I went to Bryant Park last year, what was really nice is that it was an all-in-one space. Everything you needed was right there. The music was playing outdoors. The lights were sparkling at night. There was shopping. There was food. You can watch the skating. And I immediately was drawn to MLK Park. I immediately saw how we could make that happen at home. And so when you come on, the first thing that we did was we took the variable of the grass and or mud out of the equation and built a 17,000 square foot pressure treated wood floor that's all ADA and fully accessible, just because there was just no way that we could take that chance with the weather and what it was going to be like on the ground. So I think that adds a lot to how it looks as well. But we talked about that early on, that just was like, we had to do it no matter how much it cost or what ended up going into that. That was a must. So when you come up onto the wood, you're going to experience the music playing outdoors. You're going to hear all the festive music. You're going to see three huge tents. One is we call the Gingerbread House. That place hosts to Breakfast with Santa. We have free crafts in there. We do private events in there, and it kind of just interchanges with different things throughout the time. And then, of course, the lodge at Bar, which is where we have the nice little bar with our pop-up restaurant that changes weekly. And then what we're all kind of here for is Santa's Workshop. Santa's Workshop is a little bit of what we remember as children, as from our past, a little bit of that with a little bit of new traditions thrown in inside of Santa's Workshop, and then intermixed in all the middle are the retail shops and food.
Okay, and again, 17,000 square feet, you said?
I'll let Sean talk about
Yeah,
that.
That's a lot. Yeah, and that, you know, we debated too for a few months. You know, I have a lot of temporary flooring solutions, so it's like, do we do a cover with turf or something that would actually last for the winter? But in the end, it was like, it's got to be wood. And I think what's funny is a lot of people, when they're there, they don't even realize or think about it, but this is the same field where you sit at Party in the Park in the grass. And this is a wood floor that's temporary, and it took 5 days to put it down. 84 Lumber helped us with the cost on that, and it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. And it's cool to walk around because, like, we hear a lot of people comment on a lot of things, and I hear a lot of people, like, look at the floor and say, how do they do this? And just one board at a time.
Well, I want to say, you know, having been down there last weekend, first of all, it was really cold outside last weekend, and it was surprisingly warm in the lodge. You call it the lodge?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So it was pretty warm in there, and you had a lot of different forms of heat going outside. But you're going to have a pretty warm weekend this weekend, I think. We're going to be like in the 40s, right?
We're thankful for our propane costs, that it's going to be nice out.
But is that a problem for the skating, for the ice? No?
Well, our first weekend, it was 57 degrees on the Sunday, which I think the city might have closed it down on a normal weekend, but now it's kind of different now that we're there. Mm-hmm. And it was, I'll tell you what, I was out there with my kids in a short sleeve shirt, and there were some ponds in there, but it was still a really good time. My kids loved going through the waters. But I think the sweet spot's 45 and below is what they like. And I think, what is it, 47? So my guess is it's going to stay open.
Yeah. And when the sun gets down, things will change. So they'll be open full stop for the weekend. Yeah, and I'm sure a lot less bitter cold than it was last weekend. You've got a lot of vendors who are there. Some come in for one of the days. Some come in for longer chunks of time. But from what I saw, and I didn't see everything, it was a ton of local products. So kind of give me a sense for what you're trying to do there in terms of who is vending and how you've done that.
I think that's really important when you're doing events in the city, is to be sure to highlight the people that really make up what we are in the city. And so that was the first people that I went to. Being in the events business, we have a network of friends and business people, you know, business friends that we work with, and just being able to highlight them in a special way. Stacey K. Floral is killing it. I mean, and it's such a wonderful experience because everyone knows her as a florist, but not a lot of people realize that she has a boutique in a gift shop down on is it Russell Street?
Yes, correct.
I think people are just blown away when they go and see what her offerings are. And they're like, oh, wow, you sell this in the store? She said she's already seen people coming in the store that she saw at the market. Duke's Donuts, Warehouse 127. We have Living Roots Wine on the bar. I think that was a key component to how we were structuring this and putting it together.
Did you go into this thinking, if this works, we're going to do this every year? Did you think?
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
And but did you also think, you know, I guess I'm curious to know how much of a risk you thought this was in terms of getting people down to the space. You're shaking your head over there. Why is that?
I don't think we thought it was a risk. We are three young families. We have young kids here, and we've all been searching for something like this for our own families, for our friends, and for the community. And I think we all believed, with Jenna's experience at Bryant Park, Sean's experience at the markets in Europe, I've also been to the markets at Europe, these things work in other cities, and there's no reason it can't work here. We desperately wanted it, and I think we believed everybody else would feel the same way.
Are you at the point now where you think this is definitely coming back here?
Success, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we, you know, no one realizes the timeline. So we had the idea, Jen and I talked about it last spring, but it wasn't until May that it was looking likely the city was behind it, but it wasn't official till August. So what everyone's looking at, this is really a three-month timeline. Kelly kept it going throughout the summer and kept the vision going and trying to line up sponsors, but it didn't become truly real until late August. And as far as risks, I mean, we definitely went in financially with risks, so we're very thankful the bar and everything took off way beyond our wildest dreams. I think everything took off way beyond what we expected, and the vendors as well are having record numbers. Duke's Donuts said by far last weekend it was more than he's done in one day than ever
before.
In the
history of his business.
Right, by far. So for everyone involved, it's been a smash hit, so I can't see not coming back.
Online where, by the way? Where are you, what's the website for people to check it out?
It's rockholidayvillage.com.
All right, Rock Holiday Village, ROC, rockholidayvillage.com. I want to kind of go back to the point, though, that Kelly was making about having young families and wanting something like this. So in your mind, are you one of those people who gets nostalgic for the past? Do you feel like, you know, does everything sort of, you look back and does it feel like childhood was Charlie Brown and people were skating outside together and doing hot chocolate and sitting by the fire and doing their Christmas shopping all along the small street? I mean, is that the image you have? Is that what you're trying to create here?
I think that might be what we're trying to create here. I can't say that I necessarily had that Charlie Brown experience. Holidays for me were wonderful. But I don't recall necessarily having specific Charlie Brown memories. We had Midtown, Everybody really loves the memories of that. Whether or not Midtown was as grand and wonderful as our memories think they are, we don't know anymore because they're just memories.
I think when we're kids, everything seems huge.
We talk about this a lot. Yeah. It could have been wonky. It could have been like the most like randomly put together thing, but the way we remember it is so magical. Like I have fond memories of walking up Magic Mountain and getting the kazoos and the balloons and riding the monorail and going to breakfast with Santa. Like very, very fond memories of that as a child.
Well, here's an example too for nostalgia, you know. Everyone is commenting, and I've heard multiple people say it, the monorail car that we have on display, actually, in Santaland, people look at it and parents look at it and say, I used to fit in that. And it's so nostalgia, everyone remembers this big, grandiose monorail, and they're really these little, small, tiny cars that everyone's squeezed into. And it's now we look at it in today's age, like, how did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, back in my hometown, there was this park with the massive slide that I was too scared to go down and drove by it, you know, a year ago, and I went, that is not that big. What was I scared of? So you got a monorail car, though.
We do.
How did you do that?
Joe Alessi from the city of Rochester helped us out. I mean, they helped us out with a lot of things, but we knew right away that we wanted one, and we found they had a few in storage. Locating them actually took time because, you know, it was supposed to be in one warehouse, then it wasn't, and someone's like, oh, it's actually over here. And we found the one we wanted, and they saved it for us.
Who is the target audience for? I mean, you want anybody who wants to come down here, but you know, what are you typically seeing? Who's coming down to Rock Holiday Village so far?
I'm going to be corny for a second. It's really beautiful. Everyone is coming out and everyone is celebrating together. I mean, we haven't had one negative comment on social media. When you're walking around, you can hear people laughing and talking about how wonderful a time they've had. They're going out of their way to email us and to contact us to let us know how thankful they are that we put it together. It's everyone. It's every demo. It's every age. It's every race. And everyone's just there having a good time doing the same things.
Why was it that you felt like maybe we were missing something like this. So even if it's not necessarily perfectly recreating something from childhood, why did it for you feel like we didn't have what you were looking for?
So for about 15 years, I've had the pleasure to work for the Jazz Festival, and I have the similar feel there. You walk around, you feel really proud. You feel really proud to be a Rochesterian. You feel really proud to be a part of that project because it brings so many people together, and it's non-discriminative, and it's inclusive. Inclusive's been a word for my, personally in my business, inclusivity's been a word over the past year we've made a priority. And I thought it was really important to make sure that that remained the focus as we put this together. But to answer your question, I don't go to see Santa with my kids in the mall. So we were really, you know, and I remember so much about Midtown, just needed something for my children.
Yeah, I don't take my son to see Santa because I don't like torturing him. I never understood that. But, you know, for some, it's a great tradition. I don't know. Does it roughly look like it was in your mind's eye when you started talking about this?
It really does. This is exactly what my brain looks like. I mean, it really, truly came together exactly how I had hoped and envisioned for it to become. And to be honest, the only reason it happened is because so many people believed in us right from the beginning. And I say this a lot, but a lot of blind faith. I mean, the city of Rochester came on. I've been working with the city for a long time, so I knew that they knew that we had proof of concept and we knew how to deliver a good event. But for Five Star to come in, how they did, and Wegmans to jump on board, and the Anthony Butera team at Keller Williams and IAC Kids to see our vision, and all the rest that followed with us just putting it together. I did it in a publisher. It was a publisher presentation that I put out to these people. And before we were leaving each of the meetings, we were talking about what they were going to do to be a part of it. I knew we were onto something really, really special. And there's no way we could have done it, or I could have put together what we had thrown together without all of that support.
Is it, in some sense for you, going to be the Winter Jazz Fest?
I think it kind of bookends the other side of it. I mean, I think that it caters more to families, but I mean, Jazz Festival certainly caters to families. But yeah, I think it has the same feel. Do you guys agree? I feel like it has the same feel there.
I do.
Yeah, we see people. I work the festival with Jenna, and it has such a great feeling. People are always just smiling and saying hello as they pass each other on the street. And I always loved that feeling, and I'm getting that again at our own festival. People are just, everywhere we go, are just smiling and having a good time.
I can easily find long lists of, you know, America's best holiday cities. And if you look at these pictures, like Woodstock, Vermont, it looks like a Rockefeller painting. It's just ridiculous. And then you find cities around the world, and there's all these amazing places in Europe that apparently Sean's probably been to all of them. So take me through the experiences, you know, some of them that kind of stand out to you, and what it felt like, you know, why you thought when you're there, this is special, why it felt different than just kind of going to the mall.
Well, so the one trip to Ireland, well, it was particularly enticing because everything was structure tents, and I'm a tent guy and I'm a tent enthusiast, so any events that are in tents are exciting for me. But they decorated the tents kind of like we do to make them look like gingerbread houses, like lodges, things like that. But it's the same thing. It's not just kids going, it's the entire community. Everybody's there. Vienna was also magical, and that was every vendor booth. It wasn't a tent. It was more like actual, like, wooden huts, wooden sheds, which we might go that direction eventually as well. We're kind of figuring out what's our next move. A lot of people now that they've been to our events say don't change a thing, but obviously if we change anything, it's going to be for the better is our goal. But same thing in Vienna. Vienna was more of like a, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like a Snow White wonderland when I was there. So,
take on an afternoon evening in Vienna this time of year, you're going to be mostly walking around.
Correct.
Probably grabbing a mulled wine on the streets. Like that's like the stereotype I have. Is this actually happening?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Absolutely. And I think the thing that Rochester surprised us and our concern was these big cities in Europe and also New York City. They're walking cities. People are used to being outside. And I had my doubts at points if people would actually come out. But then last weekend, I think our high was 29 degrees, and we were kind of waiting to say, is this weekend going to be as awesome as our opening weekend? And 5 o'clock on Friday, we're like, oh, here we go. And then Saturday all day long, and it just keeps going. So we're hoping to keep the momentum this weekend.
Do you have a way to measure attendance? I mean, it's always sort of a guesstimate, but...
We know how many pitchers we've taken with Santa. Not that I know that number right now, but we have a way to calculate that. We have a general idea of how many people are going in and out of the lodge. We know how much product we're selling, so we can kind of calculate it out as an average. We know how many people are attending, like Breakfast with Santa. The only thing that we don't have any regulation over, and maybe next year we'll get better so we can have some better numbers, is we don't know, because we don't run the skating. But maybe
they keep track of all the rentals. When I met with them yesterday, they're counting every rental that goes in and out.
For skating?
Yes.
Okay, correct.
It's tough to gauge, you know, there's no focal entrance and exit, so we'd be double clicking. Some people, you know, people come in, they go out the other way, they go skate, they come back up. So
it's the casualty of a free event. It's a free event, essentially. Everything is free. So there's no, you know, there's no admission charge or ticket price to get in.
Is there ever admission or ticket pricing for any of the music that you have?
No. Everything's free.
Okay. It's rockholidayvillage.com. That's what we're talking about. And our guests are the people behind it, Jenna Knopf, Kelly Marsh, Sean McCarthy. And it sounds already like it's an event that they're thinking about bringing back. I want to talk a little bit about transportation, because there's always conversations in Rochester about the future of transportation, how people get to events, et cetera. How much concern, if any, did you have that people would struggle to get to you, and what would you like to see the city do in terms of maybe different modes of transportation in the future? Let's go around the table. What do you think?
I don't know if it's necessarily the city's responsibility. They do so much to help us with this event. I think it's maybe more internally what we do to provide maybe shuttling, more information about how to get around. But we haven't heard very much in the way of anyone have any issues with transportation, but it is on the docket for years to come that we'll have shuttling and other options.
Okay. You guys agree there?
Yeah, we have plenty of street parking and parking garages in the area that are very close and accessible to the festival. I haven't heard any complaints either.
Yeah, I'd be curious if any listeners do call in what their experience was parking, because we're kind of just there. We're kind of there, blown away by how many people are there. But, you know, and that was another concern. I'm like, will people actually come and find the parking? Because, again, where we live, we kind of luck out. No one has to walk too far from where they park. So, but like, there's a lot of parking there. So,
when you've been in Europe, there's always this stereotype that, you know, in Europe everybody walks, and in the United States everybody drives. And to some degree, that stereotype is true. Is it different for you in your experience having done sort of winter activities in Europe, Sean?
I mean, all I counted on there was public transportation.
Yeah.
So, but I think in general, everyone knows in Europe, public transportation is better than the States. It's just kind of how it's always been between the train system and getting around in the cities. Other than obviously New York City, I mean, you can get anywhere on a subway, but not so much in Rochester.
All right. Well, we will invite your feedback. They want to know if you've been able to find parking, if you've been down to the Rock Holiday Village. Jenna, tell us again what right now, for those who haven't been there, where it is again.
It's every weekend at MLK Park. We have 2 weekends left, and you can find all the information and a map and everything at rockholidayvillage.com.
And we're having a conversation about how they're trying to impact the city. In our second half hour, we'll talk more about how we envision, you know, what winter celebrations should be like, what they were like growing up, what they've done with this already. We'll talk about whether this will bring more people downtown, either for the day, but also, you know, do our guests here, again, who have young families and are thinking about these issues, does the Jazz Fest make people move to Rochester? Does an event like this make people want to move to the city of Rochester? We'll talk about the cultural and sort of city impact as well. So let's get our only break of the hour, and we're back with Jenna Knopf, Kelly Marsh, Sean McCarthy, talking Rock Holiday Village here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on the next Connections, what does a truly inclusive sports program look like? We sit down with members of the Unified Sports, a program whose teams include players with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their peers. We'll hear from a Unified Sports athlete and from program organizers about how to create more inclusive schools and more inclusive communities. That's Friday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. I want to bring in a voice here who can help us understand a little bit of how our memories play on us as we think about Rock Holiday Village. We think about what our own childhood looked like. Fred Amato is the president of the Shalott Genesee Lighthouse Historical Society, and he's on the phone. Hi, Fred. How are you? Fred, are you there? Hi, Fred. No? I think he's on the phone. Let's try to get Fred, and in a moment, we'll go back to Fred. But before we do that, we'll tell you once again that our guests here are, I guess really it's Jenna Kanoff's fault that we have this, but really all three of them. Sean McCarthy just mentioned, as the owner of McCarthy Tents and Events, that you love anything tent-related, which is like the weirdest thing anyone said on here in a
no,
while.
No, it's
I go to Ireland to see the tents, man.
You know, it's a niche industry, you know, and that's not a lot of people know about it, but the people who do tents, it's we're enthusiasts. We love what we do. And everyone goes to tented events, but then when I tell them what I do for a living, tents, they're like, what do you mean tents? No one gets it until you explain, you know, big tents. But, oh, yeah, I've been in one of those.
I guess you have to get pretty creative in certain settings to sort of make it, you know, thematic, right? I mean, to
correct.
Blend into the event, et cetera.
Correct.
How did you do that this time?
Well, with Jenna's help, Jenna did most of the decor. So, and I said the day before the event started, everything for me too was beyond what I expected. I do the big tents, but then Jenna came in with amazing decor, especially in Santa's workshop. Nice draping. CMI did some amazing lighting effects in there. So it really seems like a winter wonderland inside the workshop.
What is most of, I know you've said the feedback's been positive, but what is most of the feedback telling you in terms of what is the most popular thing that you're offering down there?
Wow.
Oh, that's a good question.
The igloos are really popular.
Yeah, they're very popular.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the igloos yet.
No,
I love that you call them igloos.
Yes.
So what are the igloos?
The igloos are, they're called garden igloos, and they're closed domes that are furnished by West Elm to be cozy little getaways for with bar service from our bar. And you just go in, get cozy, snuggle up with a blanket. They are space heated, and have some drinks. Everybody loves this cozy idea.
Do you have to reserve an igloo? Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do.
Does it cost money to reserve an igloo?
Yes.
Okay, so you got to pay to reserve an igloo. That's one of the things you got to pay for.
Yes.
But they've been popular.
They sold out before the event started.
Yes.
Wait, so you can't even get them? They're all sold out for the rest of the time?
Okay, so Kelly's going to be mad at me, but we may or may not be announcing soon that there's going to be one more igloo available this weekend and next weekend. So just be on Facebook ready.
Or Instagram or the website.
You better deliver on that. You cannot say that on with tens of thousands of listeners and know that.
I'm quite confident.
All right, there you go. Before I bring Fred back in, let me grab Teresa and Webster on the phone. Go ahead, Teresa.
Hi, Evan. I was a vendor last week at Rock Holiday Village, and I just wanted to thank everybody on the air for having Eastside Dog Services vending. And I would just add to the parking, too. I had to leave and come back and all sorts of stuff throughout the weekend and never had a problem parking, like no matter what time of day it was. I parked in the garage. I parked on Union Street. I parked not on Court, maybe Broadway. I think it was wherever it's right next to Court Street or Chestnut. So yeah, I parked all over the place. I never had a problem parking. It was super easy to get in and out. And what a wonderful experience vending and just being there. And I just wanted to thank everyone for having us. And I hope that we can be back next year for more weekends. So.
Well, thank you, Teresa. Thank you.
We loved having you.
Thanks for the phone call, Teresa. And you know what? I've got like Howard Decker ringing in my ears and the people from the Community Design Center saying, Evan, you're worried about parking? One thing Rochester has more than anything else is parking. Howard, I should have recognized the point that, of course, there's parking. It's one thing Rochester has no problem with. Let me bring Fred back in. Fred Amato is the president of the Shalott Genesee Lighthouse Historical Society. I think we've got him back now. How are you, Fred?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much for contacting us today.
Well, so, Fred, as we've been kind of talking about the new Rock Holiday Village, we've been having a little fun trying to figure out if our mind plays tricks on us when we think back to childhood and we think back to how everything seemed big and grandiose and this time of year, everything had, you know, our memories are filled with soft lighting and ice skating outside and hot chocolate and communities all doing everything together. I mean, is that overly optimistic and hyperbolic, or do you think that at least in our community there are various places where that was the case?
Well, I can remember back in the 1970s, and this was in the Shalott area. They had an artificial ice rink that was set up there. It was basically in the parking lot, and the water was held in by the around the perimeter of it is an area where they put blacktop. And at the location, what they had is they had one of the old voting booths. And if people will remember those are little small booths that they had little furnace, not a furnace, but they actually had an old potbelly stove, and they used to, I believe, put either coal or wood in them. And we're going back a long, long time. And when we were involved down there, and this is when Roger Robach was the assemblyman from that area, we had what they called was a broom ball contest there. It was like the elected officials were playing some of the community leaders, and it was a lot of fun. And the only problem with ice rinks like that is it's a natural one, and it means that if it's not cold enough, like today is what, 37 where I am right now, you might not have ice there. You'd have water. And that is a big problem there. But the Shalott Community Association and the neighbors in that area, they are pushing for an ice rink to go in there. And one of the proposals that people are talking about is one of the rings of the Roger Robach Community Center. It's a grassy area. It's on the east side of the Robach Center there. It's not covered. It might be an ideal place to put something like an artificial turf rink there. But the only problem with artificial rinks is that you really have to have some piping in there so that you can cool the water that's there, and you need to make it available at other times during the winter months. And it'd be a great thing for the community to bring in people from all around Rochester and outside of Rochester. And it's to bring people there during the winter months. During the summer months, there's a lot of events going on there, and there's really not a big need to push a lot of things going on there, but we do that anyhow. So an ice rink is one of the things people are talking about. So.
Well, Fred, I there's one way that I know life has changed, and that I know our guests in studio are going to agree with this, because I don't think anyone could disagree with one aspect of how life has changed. I'll get your thoughts on this, Fred, because as I think about the way you're describing how Rochester, how Shalott, how it used to be, and how they're trying to make Rock Holiday Village a place where the entire community will come together, I think it matters maybe more than it even did then, because at least in the past, if you would ring your neighbor's doorbell, they may answer it. Now, let me give you an example. You bake a bunch of cookies. I have a friend who baked cookies for the neighborhood and delivered cookies to like 20 houses in the neighborhood. And just about everybody is home. They know that's home. The lights are on. You can see people moving. And roughly a quarter of the people even answer the door anymore. People literally, if you do not know someone is coming to your house and the doorbell rings, you're not excited. You're not, you know, like Sebastian Maniscalco, the comedian, pointed out, you're not thinking, oh, there's company. You know, get the coffee out. It's like, why is there someone at the door? Do not answer the door. Everybody freeze. People don't answer the door anymore, Fred. I mean, am I wrong?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I can remember when I was a kid, we lived at the corner of Smith Street and Frankfort Street many, many years ago. And we used to leave the doors unlocked. And once, I can remember, we actually, my brother and I were home and my parents were out. We had locked the doors, gone to bed. And my mom and dad tried to get in the house and they didn't have their keys. And they also rang the doorbell, but we were fast asleep. We never heard them ring the doorbell. Well, if it would have been the time when people didn't worry about locking their doors, because all the neighbors, you know, were very, very friendly. They used to talk to each other. We knew who they were. And today, you know, I know the neighbors on my right side and my left side. I know the neighbors that are just north of me, just west of me. So you're talking about four neighbors that I know who they are. But, you know, I probably know a lot more than that, because I've been in politics many years, so I go on door to door in those areas. But now I know that people won't answer their doors.
Yeah.
Even when I was out politicking, you know, you knew somebody was home, you ring the doorbell, they wouldn't answer. And as you say, it's getting that same way with the telephone now. But my phone rings, and I look up and I see my phone.
You don't know the number, yeah.
It says your phone number is on my showing up on my screen here. Normally, if I rang, I would have let it ring. And if you didn't leave a message, I said, well, it's not important. But because I knew I was going to get a call. I knew that number was going to show up, and I answered it. But
it's so
we're
true.
Getting more and more scared of things, no matter where we live, whether it's in the city of Rochester, whether we're in the town of Greece or on the Quaid. And I basically live in Greece, just a couple of streets just out of Shalott. But I've done a lot of things, I've gone to a lot of events in the Shalott community because I feel safe there. I know people sometimes are afraid to go down there. You hear one little bad thing that happens down there, and it ruins the reputation for everything that goes on there. But there's a lot of places in the city that you are still very, very safe.
Oh, of course.
And, that we just need to find a way to encourage people to participate in some of these events that you're talking about today.
Absolutely. Whether it's Shalott, whether it's MLK Park, parts of the city of Rochester, I promise you, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, you're going to be safe if you go to the city of Rochester. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a great point from Fred. By the way, I should make Megan Mack grab the microphone because she just sent me a note saying you had the same experience. So you've got to grab the microphone and tell this story, Megan Mack. So same kind of thing?
Same kind of thing. I'm grabbing the mic out of the hands of John Andrus, who also has comments. So.
Everybody wants to talk about this.
No, but I did have the same experience with my neighbors. I went around to all 23 houses in my neighborhood.
23 houses in your neighborhood.
23 houses. Walked around with my neighbor, Corey, and only 7 people came to the door. They were very surprised to see people showing up on their doorstep with food, free food. But the people that we did talk to were lovely and pleasant, and they wanted to have neighborhood events in the summer. We have a park in the middle of our neighborhood. So I think it was worth it. It was nice to meet those who answered the door, but I think you're absolutely right. People are, it's a different mentality now.
That's very interesting, though. The few people, 7 out of 23, who answered the door, now they want to plan like a park event next year.
They hope to. They hope to have a block party.
Okay, look, so people want to get together. They just were scared of each other now. And Maniscalco was right. If you literally show up at someone's house and they don't know you're coming, what do you do now? You text them from the driveway. You don't even ring the doorbell. It's a different world. Well, Fred, before I let you go here, are you happy to see the efforts to get more people out together in community spaces? I mean, does that warm your heart a little bit?
Oh, yes, it absolutely does. And in a few months there, on February 9th and 10th, you have the Winterfest coming up. One day, it's a community event. It's in the Mayor William Johnson Rochester Terminal. Mm-hmm. And then the following day, on the 10th, you have the Polar Bear Plunge. Well, you will see people coming from all different areas, you know, all around the Monroe County, and even from outside of Monroe County for both those days. And during those times, people feel safe. It's just that sometimes in the summer, you get people, because there's something may happen, a little small little fight breaking out among a couple people there, and it just destroys the reputation for some of the areas. And this is not just, you know, in Shalott, but it's other areas. You get that same feeling that when you hear something bad, you think that's an area you got to stay out. But I certainly encourage people to get out there in their communities. And especially, you know, like the Winterfest, that's during the daytime. There's really nothing to be afraid of that might be happening to you. The very small number of cases that it happens, you know, in some of these areas, unfortunately, people remember it. They don't remember all the good times we've had.
Yeah.
And Winterfest has been going on for a long, long time. And I don't want to keep, I know other people need to talk. But people, you know, this event's been going on for years and years. You can go down there. You can build a snowman or a snow sculpture and maybe get a prize for being one of the nicest designs. And those are the kind of things we've been trying to promote in the Shalott area, being, you know, involved with the Lighthouse and the Ontario Beach Park Program Committee. We're out there trying to get the family entertainment going on in the community, and we'll continue doing that.
Well, Fred, thanks for taking the time to join the program today and share that with us. Good perspective. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Fred Amato
is the... Have a great Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, sir. Yeah, very good. Fred's the president of the Shalott Genesee Lighthouse Historical Society, and just reminding us that it's nice when we can put community events together, put people in public spaces together. The impetus for this discussion is the Rock Holiday Village. It's rockholidayvillage.com. If you want to jump online and check it out, they have a couple of weekends left. And it sounds like, just based on how it's gone so far, that you're going to get used to seeing this on a yearly basis in Rochester. So before engineer John Andrus jumps in, because now everybody wants to talk. You guys have got everybody talking here. Seriously, do you even know your neighbors? I mean, like, if you knocked on the door, would they answer it? Come on.
I have a ring doorbell, so I know who, I answer my door because I
you
see
do
who
answer
it
your
is.
Door. See, that's
well, yeah,
good.
Because I look on my phone and I see who it is.
I just find it funny, but I think that in many ways that's why the Holiday Village is it's I think it's that's an extra bonus of it because I do think we get together less in our own neighborhood in our own spaces, and I think the community space you guys are providing gives people a chance to do that. If you're just joining us, I'm going to tell Jenna Knopf one more time to tell you she's the owner of the Bella Events Group, where the Rock Holiday Village is and how you can access it before it's gone this year. Go ahead.
Yep. Next two weekends at MLK Park downtown. A lot of free parking and free activities, and you can find all the details at rockholidayvillage.com.
Do you guys think that this is... do you think that the festivals of Rochester, the events of Rochester, whether it's Jazz Fest, which you've invoked, Fringe or otherwise, the many, many, and now the problem is you start naming them and people get offended you didn't name theirs. And there's so many good ones. Does this change the culture enough to actually make people think about, you know, I want to live there. This is a place I want to be. It's a place I want to live.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, this is, it's a fun town. It's a festival town. And people love that. I mean, I'd say that's part of what Rochester is. It's amazing how many keep popping up, but that's in the summer. So that's why I think part of the reason this has been a hit is there was really no big festival, truly big festival in the winter until now.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
We've been seeing comments, too, on our social media. A lot of people that have moved away have been commenting, I'm coming home next weekend. I can't wait. This is where we're coming when we come home. Comments, oh, my gosh, I moved away from Rochester, and now you guys are doing stuff like this. I'm sad I'm not there. So definitely.
Mm-hmm. Jenna? You're so on the subject of where people are moving and living. I mean, I think the Jazz Fest is, you know, being the biggest of the festivals, and it is probably the biggest, I would assume still. So I'm not insulting any other festivals, but it's obviously bringing tourists and people who don't live in Rochester there. I want to ask you your thoughts on whether these events make people want to live in the city. And I also am curious to know if the Rock Holiday Village, is this mostly going to be local? Given it's winter, people do less of the travel for festivals, et cetera. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that there's already a resurgence happening in the city, and we just added to it. And I think that just based on the response we've got from the local, the different apartment complexes and the lofts that have popped up and how they're responding to it, these people are so excited to have something walking distance. They moved into the city in hopes that the city would follow suit and have things for them to do, and now... here's just another big thing they can do all winter long that's just steps from the door.
Well, I did get an email from a listener who says that, doesn't this prove that you can program events in the winter? Doesn't this prove that people will do things outside in the winter? Mm-hmm. And the listener was referring to the debate over Parcel 5, in which one of the comments for those who opposed public space, green space, was, well, you can't get Rochesterians out in the winter. So... without dragging you back into Parcel 5, which everyone loves to debate and talk about, do you think you can get people outside in the winter? I mean, it's actually late fall. Isn't that sort of horrifying? We've got a week left of fall, everybody. But you can get people out in the cold.
I mean, we built it and they came. There, it is in droves and nobody is complaining. You know, we're giving them opportunities to get warm, too. They're not just stuck in the cold the whole time they're there. But they're coming out. Yeah. They're looking for something to do.
Hats and gloves are enough. That's all they need. Just everybody's coming, hats and gloves and scarves, and nobody's complaining about the weather.
Well, and Sean, you've, again, having spent a time in a number of European cities, they're doing outdoor events.
Correct.
In the winter.
Correct. And as I said, I was the biggest naysayer, I think, of everyone. I'm like, are they really going to come? And as we got deeper into this and kind of continue to try to get sponsorship money, and we definitely didn't get as far as we needed to get. At the end, I'm like, you know what? All I care about at this point is if a lot of people come. And beyond that, if a lot of people come, I'm happy. And I'm beyond happy.
It
was a labor of love. Full on.
Well, John Andrews, the engineer of this program, has some memories to share. Go ahead, John.
Well, growing up, I remember Sibley's department store on the fourth floor, Toyland, and they used to hand out kazoos, but it was like a winter wonderland going in there. Also, Midtown Plaza, I recall someone mentioning the monorail. I was too big to fit into that, but it was fun watching adults and children going through that. And by the way, handing out those kazoos, you could certainly learn how to play that. It was a whole symphony of kazoo players at Sibley's. And speaking of ice skating, Riley Pond, Cobbs Hill, had a little house where you could go in, change your skates, and get hot chocolate. And many people, they had it frozen over. I think it's about 3 or 4 feet deep. and it was a wonderful memory. And of course, you could always sled downhill, still can, at Cobbs Hill and see a wonderful view of the city as well. So those are some great memories.
Yeah, thank you, John. And that is a great view of the city. That always still is there. So as we get if we get towards the latter part of this program, I want to turn to the organizers of the Rock Holiday Village and just talk a little bit about what they've put together in terms of local vendors. Because yesterday on this program, we talked about Christmas gift buying, holiday gift buying, and maybe different mentalities people have, not just checking a box, but if you have to do that, can you buy local? Where can you find that? How many vendors do you have? And, you know, roughly, because there's Jenna sort of giving me this look like, you know, an exact number of them. And, well, I know it changes because, some vendors are there for blocks of time on a Saturday and some are there sort of straight through. But roughly how many vendors are you working with? Are they almost all local? What's going on there?
We have the village vendors, which is what encompasses the middle of the whole festival. And there's about 26 spots there. Not to say that some vendors don't take up more than just a 10-foot space. So we probably have about 20 vendors on any given weekend in that space. And we did give them the option to do one weekend, two weekends, three or four. So there are about four new ones coming in this weekend that we're really excited about. It'll add a little bit of new life and some new product. And they are all local. The only one that wasn't local in the village vendors was Wake Coffee, which was a smash. That was a home run. They really killed it. But where were they from, Kelly?
They actually are from here. They're from Rochester, but their business operates out of Philadelphia.
Correct.
They live here.
They sold a lot of coffee.
Yeah. It's really delicious coffee,
really
by the way.
Coffee.
It's kept me going.
But they were the only ones. Everything else was local. And then the Mini Makers Market, which we'll have this Saturday. We had one last Saturday. It was 15 vendors for each, and that's all local as well. And we did that, again, to work around the word inclusivity. Not everyone could afford the village vendor spots, so we wanted to give something that was a little bit more affordable and get them in front of people, too. So these are more of your, like, homemade craftspeople that are in the mini makers.
Do you have a number of people who are coming to the Holiday Village to actually do their shopping, to do shopping?
I don't think we have a number, but based on what we're hearing from the retailers, I'm not kidding. Everyone that we stop and talk to say that it's like the best sales day in the history of their businesses. Again, you know, we're around the Christmas time. This is when people are ready to spend their money. So the retailers are doing really well with that.
Okay.
Even the people that aren't planning on shopping come up from skating or come out of the bar and it's right there. So you can't miss it. You have to stop and see what's in there.
What are you hearing from City Hall on this so far?
Oh, they're so proud and happy and thrilled to be a part of this. I mean, they were the first ones to come on board and say, yes, we believe in and share your vision. Mayor Lovely Warren actually, I believe, was in Bryant Park around the same time I was and came home with the same idea that something like that needed to happen. So when I got there, it was a big resounding yes. When she showed up at the opening ceremonies, it was actually really gratifying to see her reaction. When she walked through the village and just how special it was and what it made her feel like. Some other people in City Hall were tearing up as they were walking through. I just think it was something that everyone's proud of, something that makes the Rochester look good and feel good and makes everyone happy.
Whenever you run an event like this and the first time through, you've got things that you've learned. So I'll ask all of you, what have you learned most so far? Either something that surprised you or stands out to you. I mean, nothing's perfect. There's got to be some days where you go,
that's a good question.
Is there anything, Sean, that stands out?
What have I learned? you know, I guess we just need more time this coming year, and any potential sponsors out there listening, feel free to contact us early. But I think next year we're going to move into, you know, a lot of our props and things like that. I want to be more natural and build actual wood props, you know, things that are more long-term as opposed to like vinyl decals, things like that. That'll be the big thing. And make sure you keep all your vendors warm in some way. another big lesson.
Yeah, you know, Sean and I have been working in the events business and together for a really long time, both around 20 years and together for probably about 10. Dealing with power and heat, it's a brand new learning curve for us doing it in the winter. We've been troubleshooting the whole way, but it's been a lot of troubleshooting.
And let me just read a quick pile of emails, and there's at least a question or two in there that you guys can get to in our last 90 seconds or so. Dan just says, there's ample parking. I feel like MLK Park would have to be hosting the tree lighting from Rockefeller Center in order to strain the nearby parking situation. There are so many spaces. The village was crowded, and yet I walked one block from my car in a mostly empty ESL garage, and it was a great event. That's from Dan. Greg says, went to the village last Saturday as well. It was cold, but no complaints about options for staying warm. Easy parking for us. The food options were good, and I was thankful for the hot dog cart down at the skating rink. We didn't stay, but how did the skate with the Amherst work out, he's asking.
Oh, that was great. There were a lot of people lined up to take their shots and win some tickets to some of the games here. There was a great turnout. People were loving it.
So
the Moose came, too.
All right. CJ says, we moved downtown and we walked to the Holiday Village. It was a great time. Thank you. Keep it up and add even more small vendors. We loved it. That's from CJ.
Amazing.
So,
yeah.
So that's the kind of feedback I'm sure that will help you as you continue to think about, you know, what you want to do with it. But this is one of those rare events where it sounds like so far you haven't had too many hiccups. I mean, you haven't had a major thing not show up or crash or crack.
Everything's just worked out pretty much.
Yeah, you know what? When you're in this business, you have to, it's a lot of putting out fires. So you deal with, something comes up, you deal with it, and you fix it, and you move on.
The Rock Holiday Village is running until when? When can you go?
Last day is the 23rd, both this weekend and next weekend.
This weekend and next, so it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Correct.
This weekend and next weekend, all the way through the 23rd, and online at rockholidayvillage.com. I want to thank Jenna Knopf, Kelly Marsh, Sean McCarthy here representing the village and telling us all about what's been going on there. Thank you very much for telling the story. We appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John Andrus, engineer and storyteller. Thank you, John. And Megan Mack, producer, Cookie Baker, and good neighbor. I'm Evan Dawson. Thanks to all of our listeners for sharing your memories this hour with us. And if we don't see you at the Holiday Village, maybe I'll see you out there this weekend. But we'll talk to you tomorrow right here on Member Supported Public Radio.